Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you find it hard to believe that God created the world in 6 literal days. Well, my friend, relax. That belief is not a hill to die for. Many who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, who accept the authority of the Bible, do not accept necessarily a literal 6-day creation. My own mind remains open, but not committed at this point. Now, some of my fellow Christians, some are ready to read me the riot act for saying this, but I will calm the riot down later on in today's program. First, the latest news. All right, Trump. Time at long last to talk about Trump. I did say a little bit about him a few weeks ago, but not much. Today, I will spend more time. It does seem unavoidable. I mean, it's just nuts. Even on Fox News, they're in the middle of some kind of a Hillary scandal, which I'm finding a little more riveting. And all of a sudden, they cut away because Trump's given another speech. Anyway, let me cut to the bone. Bottom line, I give the guy a mixed review. Obviously, he's refreshing. He speaks his mind. On the other hand, he keeps changing his mind. That much I've said before. But it is nice to see somebody who has his own money, who isn't surrounded, at least not yet that we know of, who isn't surrounded by people telling him what to say and what not to say. It's nice to see somebody off script. On the other hand, when you listen to some of the stuff he says, he could stand to be a little more scripted. On the other hand, he's a conservative who fights back and takes no guff from the mainstream media. On the other hand, Megyn Kelly of Fox News was not the mainstream media. On the other hand, her question did sound like something somebody from MSNBC would ask. But his comment to her and the stuff he tweeted about her, I think, was inexcusable. On the other hand, that debate on Fox was not a real debate. Neither are any of the television presidential debates. In a real debate, candidates are timed. The moderator interjects no opinion. The candidates come up with their own questions. They speak to each other. They ask things of their opponents. It's a joke that news pundits drive the debate. On the other hand, considering that this is how they now define debates on TV, agree or disagree with that definition, whatever that thing was, Fox did it better than anybody else. Fox was more probing and balanced and fair and even-handed than I have ever seen with the other networks. And when Trump complains that he's not being treated fairly, he shows an awfully thin skin for somebody that dishes it out as much as he does. On the other hand, how fun to see a conservative that isn't mealy-mouthed. On the other hand, Trump has only been a conservative for about 15 and a half minutes. On the other hand, who cares if he's changed his positions? The only thing that matters is what he will do when he gets in office. On the other hand, nobody knows what he'll do when he gets in office because his changing positions are not merely in the past, but in the present. He has already changed his positions right in the middle of the campaign. He walked back his comments about Planned Parenthood the minute he came under criticism. On the other hand, he at least says he won't find abortion. On the other hand, he once accepted abortion. On the other hand, so what? He says he learned. He says he grew. They all say that, but he says it too. On the other hand, he was not merely pro-choice. He even accepted partial birth abortion. Partial birth abortion is not abortion. Partial birth abortion is infanticide. A man who can accept that can accept anything. On the other hand, maybe he just didn't understand what a partial birth abortion was. On the other hand, if he didn't understand, then he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. On the other hand, maybe he's just not sharp on that issue. He's certainly smart in the world of business. On the other hand, his tax plan doesn't sound that smart when he talks about taxing the rich and giving a tax break to the middle class. That's the same drivel we hear from Hillary. That's the same stuff we hear from Obama. On the other hand, his policy on illegal immigration is refreshing. On the other hand, is it fair to send home people who were actually born in the United States, even if their parents snuck across the border to give birth to these so-called anchor babies? On the other hand, they were made citizens due to a false interpretation of the 14th Amendment. We have merely to read the writings of the people who drafted the 14th Amendment to know that. On the other hand, if our politicians and our judges were that stupid, it's not the fault of some baby who was born here. It's not the fault of some baby who grew up here. Whatever the dumb reason, we did give them citizenship. That cannot be taken away. That should not be taken away. On the other hand, that doesn't mean we can't change the law now and just grandfather clause those who are already here. On the other hand, I'm the one suggesting that, not Trump. On the other hand, he'll think of it sooner or later. He thinks of everything sooner or later. On the other hand, maybe we'd do better with somebody who activates his brain before activating his mouth. Somebody who has more consistent conservative positions. On the other hand, we have all kinds of Republicans who espouse consistent positions who either lose elections or win and then go back on their promises. On the other hand, a man who changes his mind before getting elected will find it just as easy to change his mind after he's elected. All he has to do is give that same tired drivel about learning and growing, so there's no telling what he might do. On the other hand, we always know what the Democrats will do because they tell us, and unlike the Republicans, Democrats keep their campaign promises. On the other hand, they promise horrible things, and they do horrible things. Voting is the lesser of two evils. The alternative is the greater of two evils. Choice. What kind of choice would I make? Well, Trump is not my first choice out of the Republicans, nor my second, nor my third, nor my fourth, nor my fifth. But if he gets the nomination, I would still roll the dice for him before voting for a Democrat. So those of you who like Trump, go ahead, like him, enjoy watching him. Just do me just one favor. Could you stop calling him the Donald? That sounds an awful lot like when people called Obama the Obama, which sounds like the Messiah. And these men are not the Messiah. On the other hand, no, no. In the words of Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, no, there is no other hand. But I'll tell you what there is. There is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
This is Dana Wright, a reoccurring co-host on The Bob Siegel Show. You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5.
During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Now, as you know, I've been very active on Facebook for years, and technically I've been on Twitter during that same time, but much more active on Facebook. And I'll tell you why. The challenge with Twitter is you have to say things in sound bites. I hate sound bites. I hate them ever since they came out with Sesame Street. Now, I know a lot of you love Big Bird, but let me tell you something. Sesame Street was created based on the assumption that children have a short attention span. That's not true. I've worked with kids. I'll prove it to you. Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins is a 2.5-hour movie. Even to this day, you put your kids in front of a DVD and they will be mesmerized by Mary Poppins. Now, what's interesting is I read a review of Mary Poppins years after it came out, and the guy was certifiable. He says the movie is too long. It should be cut. It's not too long, but the real problem is what he said should be cut. The scene with Uncle Albert, I love to laugh, and then when they'd laugh, they'd go up in the air. Putting aside the fact that that was the most hilarious part of the movie, it's the foreshadow of the climax of the movie. When the guy at the bank dies laughing and then goes up into the air, who would have figured that? I mean, it was the animal. But here's what he said. Here's what I'll never forget. He said, the movie's too long. He says, all those kids sit mesmerized through the entire 2.5 hours, it's too long. Did he not just contradict his own argument? If they sat mesmerized, it wasn't too long. But Sesame Street was based on quick sound bites, and they created a short attention span. Kids grew up on Sesame Street, and then just as they turned teens, they went to MTV, flashy images, sometimes thousands of images per second, my understanding. Now, having said that, I may hate sound bites, but one must speak to the generation they live in. I'm a Christian. The Apostle Paul, when he used to share the gospel, he'd say, to the Jews I became as a Jew to win the Jews. To the Greeks I became as a Greek to win the Greeks. If he lived today, I think he'd say to people with sound bites and Twitter, I learned to tweet. And I have found in tweeting lately, and it is kind of a fun challenge for me to have to say things with the length of a fortune cookie to get out my point, I have found that I'm getting as many comments lately on my tweets as my full articles. Well, last week I tweeted a storm. There's a lot going on. I spoke today at Skyline, both their services. I did an awful lot to prepare for that. So I kept telling myself I didn't have time to write an article, but I couldn't put the news down. So in front of the news, I'm constantly sending out these tweets. Well, I'll at least do that. And now I'm going to read some of these tweets, and it'll kind of take you through the week. I'm going to read them in the order of with which I wrote them, so you'll kind of see the news progress. Anyway, I'm going to start reading these over the air. In fact, today we are going to introduce a new segment of the Bob Siegel Show. You are listening to Tweets from your old pal, Bob. Song brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it? I'm not sure that was a Rodgers and Hammerstein, but anyway, it fits the prayer. Okay, my tweets. Tweet one. Yes, Hillary, anchor babies are called babies. What Planned Parenthood sells is also called babies. Tweet two. Iran inspecting its own nuke sites, kind of like Obama's DOJ inspecting Benghazi email on Hillary's server. Tweet three, Hillary's evidence that she has done nothing wrong regarding her email debacle. her word. And that, of course, is good as gold. Tweet 4, to GOP candidates trying to get the black vote, talk about how illegals take their jobs. By the way, you'll get a lot of legal Hispanic votes, too. Tweet 5, actually, Trump is a politician. It's just that his political strategy is smart enough to make his opponents look more political than he is. Tweet 6, how to win the Nobel Peace Prize? Become president and accept the award before your policies destabilize the world. Tweet 7. Sooner or later, Obama will undoubtedly weigh in on stock market problem. What will it be this time? Caused by global warming? Republicans? Tweet 8. Stock market concerns? Watch for Obama to blame everything conceivable except bird brain government regulations strangling free enterprise. Tweet 9, soon, Hillary before House Benghazi Committee. I can just hear her now. The 5th, I won't lower myself to this partisan witch hunt. Tweet 10, to all my liberal, and we come now to the last tweet, to all my liberal and vegan friends, I thought that what we choose to eat only affects our body and is therefore our choice. You've been listening to Tweets from your old pal, Bob.
It's Tuesday night, so better you sing. Tweet, 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 tweet. It's Tuesday night, so better you sing. Tweet, 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 tweet.
This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's new fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is now available on Kindle, Nook, and in print copy. Check out some of the wonderful customer reviews on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Wow, what an incredible story. Well written, believable characters. The story takes twists and turns that keep surprising the reader. Although it is written from the perspective of a preteen, it is most appealing to an adult. Takes one back to those feelings and longing for adventure. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I want my radio audience to know that one of my favorite pieces of outgoing music, the beautiful score from the movie Day of the Dolphin, I sacrificed to play that stupid bird song, but it was appropriate, and these are the sacrifices I make on my show. I don't just play the music I like. I play what we must play for the show, because that's just the kind of guy I am. Never mind my taste. Am I doing this for me, or am I doing this for you? Well, maybe I'm doing it for both of us. Let me ask you a question. Is everybody aware that the Constitution is not clear on a certain legal point about the role of vice president that legal scholars for years have argued without settling? And it's the following question. Can a president who steps down after 2 terms, unqualified now for a 3rd term, according to our Constitution, can such a president become a vice president? Presidential candidate if he is so selected by a presidential candidate as part of the ticket and then voted into office as VP. With this in mind, consider the following scenario. Obama, who has made overtures about how he thinks he would win a 3rd term if he were only allowed to run and who is probably floating such statements as a trial balloon, is apparently pushing to get Biden in And Hillary, now don't worry. He may be trying to get Hillary out, but Hillary ain't going to jail. She's got too much on him. They threw criminal charges on him for Benghazi. It's a paper trail that leads right back to the commander-in-chief, and he knows it. But he could get her out of office, and she can't threaten to take him down without him taking her down. See how it works? But anyway, back to this. Biden could pick Obama as his running mate, according to an uncertain interpretation of the Constitution, or Biden could pick somebody else who drops out after the election, and then Biden could pick Obama as his replacement. This is not a conspiracy theory because I am making zero predictions. I am merely thinking out loud. I'm throwing it out. I claim no knowledge of secret meetings, but the idea that Obama may at least be considering various possibilities that can lead to his staying in office is something to at least reflect upon. Now, I wrote about some reasons he might be thinking this way in an article for CDN a few weeks ago, and I also did a monologue version of that article on this radio show. But what do you think? Disagreement is welcome? So is agreement. In fact, I must say, when you agree with me, I think I like that even better than when you disagree. Well, speaking of comments, again, you can reach me on Facebook, Twitter. Boy, can you ever reach me on Twitter these days. Or, of course, questionsatbobsiegel.net. That's questionsatbobsiegel, SIEGEL.net. Regarding my vegan thoughts, Lynn, Tori, and Olivia all liked what I had to say. My friend Michael Housam, who hosts his own radio show and has had me on as a guest several times, says regarding vegans, I'm sure the vegans would be commenting here like crazy if they had the strength to hold their phones and move their fingers. It's very clever, Mike. Or if they were able to articulate a well-thought position that was consistent instead of simply demonizing people. Joseph says, oh, you're going to love Joseph's comment. I tried veganism to please someone. I ended up feeling guilty to eat those baby corns in Chinese meals. Now I eat very little meat, but without guilt. Okay. Christine says regarding my tweet, making the obvious obvious. Thanks, Christine. I thought so. But the next person doesn't think so. Now, actually, the next comment seems to me to be from a vegan, although the guy did not actually identify himself as such in so many words. But the comment, I will say, is respectful. And he's at least attempting to give the rational argument, which I suggested would not be given from vegans. So having shot off my big mouth, I owe it to the guy to at least give him a fair shake. This is from Ed. Ed says, I would have to disagree with you that we eat only... Okay, let me start again. Ed says, I would have to disagree with you that what we eat only affects our bodies. I want to represent Ed fairly. I would have to disagree with you that what we eat only affects our bodies. There are an infinite number of chain reactions that occur throughout our universe each time we take a bit of food. It is beyond our ability as mortals to understand. Okay, I gave that a fair shake. Let me respond. Ed, first of all, if it's beyond our ability as mortals to understand, then how come you understand it? You're mortal, I think. If you're claiming you don't understand, but you know it happens anyway, then I would ask how you know it happens. Now, certainly it's true that what we eat affects our ecosystem somewhat, but you seem to be suggesting something beyond our observable science if you're claiming we don't understand. Meanwhile, what we do understand, Ed, is that with abortion, the practice I was obviously referring to when I recited the my body, my choice mantra, with abortion, it is absolutely, definitely having an effect outside of ourselves, an effect upon another human being. And although there may have been a more wishy-washy understanding of whether the fetus is alive back in 1973 during Roe versus Wade, science has since established that it's alive as a fact. Although even those who still like to use the word fetus might be surprised to learn that fetus is merely the Latin word for baby. So when you decide not to call it a baby, you're still calling it a baby. Now, I do appreciate your comment, Ed. I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, I know Ed. He's a very nice guy. I'm sure he meant, well, oh my gosh, I'm starting to sound like Trump. It's a Trump. He's a nice guy, though. He's a very nice guy. He's a good guy. Okay. Regarding Iran inspecting its own nuclear sites and Obama's Justice Department inspecting Hillary, Nancy, Patty, and Melinda all like what I said. Ann says, And the hits just keep on coming. Regarding what I said about Obama and Biden, Mark says, I feel as long as the Republicans don't shoot themselves in the foot. Mark, the Republicans always shoot themselves in the foot. Anyway, I'll go on. He says, I feel as long as the Republicans don't shoot themselves in the foot, there will be a Republican elected as president, along with substantial gains in both houses of Congress. There is a huge anti-O-liar and anti-Democrat sentiment out there, just as there was a huge anti-Bush and anti-Republican sentiment in 08 that elected the matcha messiah in the first place. Agreed. Agreed, Mark. Unless good old Chicago politics manipulate the system. And don't forget how many places will allow people to vote without ID. Not to mention that some states are giving licenses and IDs to undocumented workers anyway. Notice how I didn't say illegal aliens. I said undocumented workers because that's politically correct. Do you know what undocumented workers means? It means illegal aliens. Gene says, Bob, funny you should bring this up. I believe you are in the right track. First, they have said Biden would be a one-term president. If we reflect on how Putin was reelected after setting up his own man to take over in his place, it tells me Obama must surely be considering the same thing. Let Biden serve 4 years and then Obama can run again. This way, his agenda stays in place, including Obamacare. It would make perfect sense knowing how he thinks and how he has responded in the past. Makes one wonder how this will all pan out. Should be an interesting election. That's true, Gene, but I was actually suggesting that Obama might get in there in a couple of months. Maybe they have something where, I don't know. My brother Paul, all the way from Israel, was able to read my tweet. He says, Bob, whenever I think about it, I try not to think about it. Oh, my dear brother, I hear you, but I do a radio show, so I have to think about it. Otherwise, this show is useless to its audience. Well, we could still play that bird music, so maybe it's not completely useless. While we're on the subject, a couple of weeks ago, I did do a longer monologue, which brought into question whether or not Obama plans to step down in 2016. And a companion piece that was published in Communities Digital News, as well as the San Diego Rostra, it created quite the little firestorm. Some people agreed, not that it would happen, but that it could happen. Larry says, if the Supreme Court of the U.S. can rule against a 6,000-year-old worldwide, not just national, institution of marriage, over which that court had no constitutional jurisdiction, that being reserved to the sole discretion of each state by the U.S. Constitution, then what, in the words of Roberts' dissenting opinion, may SCOTUS not do? Let's pray that Justice Kennedy or any of the minority four justices in the SS marriage case do not die or become incapacitated before the end of Obama's current term. Another Obama appointment could actually open the door for Siegel's scenario for Obama canceling the 2016 election due to martial law imposed by executive order on heels of some supposed terrorist threat, which threat could not be explicitly disclosed to the public due to national security implications. Still sounds so implausible? Thank you for that comment, Larry. Tim says if he declares martial law, he's going to need martial law. Well, I wasn't calling for any violence, and I'm not suggesting that Tim is either. He may just be communicating his frustration. Tim also quotes part of my article, then responds to it. He quotes this part that I wrote. I wrote, it is extremely uncomfortable when Obama reminds us that he is not above the law because he doesn't really believe that for a second. Tim says, neither do the Republican leadership and all the Democrats, the gang of enablers who maintain him in the White House when the people in Congress's duty to the Constitution would demand that he be in prison. Maureen says on Facebook, liberals will say that he doesn't lie, he evolves. Yes, they're all saying that these days. On the San Diego roster, the comments were much feistier. Paul says, you forget to mention that Obama is gay, born in Kenya, prefers Dijon mustard instead of ketchup, the whore, and is in fact the Antichrist. All right, very typical response, Paul. You listed, albeit sarcastically, a bunch of Obama accusations which had absolutely nothing to do with anything I said, but I understand. I do. What I said was based on facts, and to Obama groupies, facts are stubborn little things. Dan agreed with me. He says, Obama is not typical. He is a Marxist community organizer with a lot of power. He's the ultimate narcissist with no heart and no soul, exactly like Saddam Hussein. Hasn't his fast and furious gun-running, executive amnesty, and IRS targeting taught us what he's capable of? Now, a fellow on the roster who calls himself Hypocrisy Questioned, who has responded to many of my articles and articles of others on the roster in the past, says I'm doing my usual rant about Obama. He also says tinfoil hat alert. Other comments on the roster disagreed with me, but they at least managed to do so respectfully. Brian says SCOTUS would hear the case immediately and vote 9-0 to remove him from the Oval Office. Barry agrees with Brian. Brian, I so agree. All due respect to my friend Bob, but this scenario has as much of a chance of taking place as birthers backing down on their Kenyan birth beliefs. Richard says we should not worry about Obama staying in the White House. He can't. He won't. Too many red states and too many sane Supreme Court justices, even the liberals. Instead, we should focus on the one who will take his place. Well, Richard, I'm fine with focusing on the one who might take his place, assuming somebody takes his place, and we should assume that for now. But did I hear you say sane Supreme Court justices, even the liberals? That one is hard to wrap your head around. This is the Supreme Court which found Obamacare constitutional. The same Obama who argued it wasn't a tax to get it passed through Congress and then, through his attorney, said it was a tax before the Supreme Court, knowing that if it wasn't called a tax, it would violate the Commerce Clause. And even conservative Justice Roberts sold us down the river on that one. Is that the sane Supreme Court you're talking about? But now let me expand my comment to talk more generally to all my radio listeners, to all my Facebook friends, to all my Twitter followers, to my readers at Community Digital News, and to everybody associated with the San Diego Rostra, to my friends and colleagues, and to the readers, most of whom I respect, even when we disagree. Greetings! And now I would also like to say a word to the other kinds of readers and listeners, those who do not truly listen, those who do not truly read, even though their eyes see the words, those who see only through their own biased sensory equipment, who emotionally react instead of responding to any of the real points I am making. What will I say to them? Well, I'll say it when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
So we're talking about whether Obama will really remove himself from office. And to those people who are acting like it was just a really dumb thing for me to say. First of all, my friends, I made no prediction here once again, but I did review Obama's record in that article and that monologue I did a few weeks ago on the radio show. I just reviewed his record. I am not a birther. I have spoken on this show against birthers. I have written against them. I do not believe in Obama conspiracy theory. Neither does one need to resort to such nonsense while critiquing Obama. There is enough the man has actually done and promised to do, such as the things I did list in my article and in my monologue, things completely authenticated. I have written many articles on the various scandals and problems. I have quoted my sources. Those articles can still be found with the simplest Google search, or just go to my website where they found a happy home. I do not know that Obama will declare martial law, and I do not know what else he might try to do again through executive fiat or through trying to find a judge who will reinterpret the Constitution. I do not know, and I did not claim to know. The bottom line of my article and monologue was twofold. First, we live in times where what once seemed unimaginable in America has been happening, including unconstitutional executive orders. As for unconstitutional interpretations of the Supreme Court, I myself said in the article, and I'm quoting myself, granted, this is the more outrageous sounding scenario. But folks, there is certainly precedent for unconstitutional rulings in the name of interpreting the Constitution. I have written about many of them as well in the past, some quite recently, although in that present article, I used Dred Scott as an example, simply because nobody today on the left or the right with our 2020 hindsight is going to justify that decision. And so we are forced to agree that while we may know what the Supreme Court should do or what we even think they are likely to do, that doesn't necessarily mean it is something they will do. Also, I made it abundantly clear that I do not know Obama's plans or whether he would succeed even if he tried something. I was talking about what he might want to do. Here's a quote of my exact words. But there is nothing about this man which leads keen observers to believe that he isn't at least considering the option of hanging around. I based that on a track record which includes his obvious contempt for what is constitutional. I listed examples, and from those who disagreed, I saw only responses about birthers, tinfoil, or assessments, predictions in their own right, about what the Supreme Court would do in a situation like this. The latter responses were fine and respectful, even though they were not much of a response to other things I said or the main point of my article. As for this fellow on the San Diego roster who calls himself hypocrisy questioned, who never seems to question his own hypocrisy, but mentions my rants, but posts plenty of his own rants, who responded by talking about tinfoil hats, a term which insults people by suggesting they are either paranoid or into conspiracy theories, to this nameless individual. My assessments and guesses years ago about the shape of our country, should we elect or reelect Obama as president, have been coming true, my friend. Apparently, they were based less on paranoia and more on fact. When I warned people, I was merely listening to what the man said, or reviewing his voting record, or pointing out the agenda of the people who have worked with him and mentored him. All fact. And if that makes me wonder about further things he might do, so be it. To merely ask such a question is fair, and it is not based on conspiracy theories. Again, I am not saying anything about secret meetings. I am instead suggesting that this power-hungry, dictatorial-style president has demonstrated that there is little he would not try if he thought he could get away with it. Only a prophet knows what will actually happen, and I am not a prophet. But neither am I somebody who responds to facts with mere insults, as hypocrisy questioned likes to do. And so, hypocrisy questioned, if you have the stomach for a genuine discussion, one that does not waste my time over the internet, but one that takes place in real time, where everybody can benefit from your rational response to my tinfoil, how about a friendly debate over the air on my radio show? If you're interested, there's contact information on my website. We can set up ground rules and put a broadcast date on the calendar. And hey, here's an idea. Maybe you will have the courage at that time to give your own real name. Say what you want about my opinions. At least I'm willing to put my name on them. Still, you're welcome to debate under any name you feel you need to use. That is all. Now, this is from Alex, who sent me, you'll remember, a bunch of questions, really good questions, a few weeks ago about the Bible. and I answered them over the air. He's since heard the show, and he says, "Hello, Bob. I listened to your radio show on your website. Thank you for answering my questions. I would like to give a response. In relation to the resurrection of Jesus, I still wouldn't feel confident that the resurrection occurred. Say we accept that the tomb was empty. You gave a number of possibilities for the empty tomb and reasons why you don't believe them to be true. However, I would always believe in one of those possibilities before I would believe that a person had risen from the dead. You gave reasons for those possibilities being unlikely, but in my opinion, someone rising from the dead is much more unlikely because it would be a miraculous event. The only way I could ever see myself believing in the resurrection would be to witness a miracle, which brings me to my next point. Speaking of miracles, you claim that miracles still happen. You mentioned a person being clinically dead and then coming back to life. I have heard this kind of story many times. Again, I would always look for another explanation. I would think a mistake by a doctor pronouncing someone clinically dead when they're not is much more likely. However, if a person was clinically dead for 3 or more days, then came back to life, that would probably convince me that it was a miracle. I don't know if such a story exists, or if it does, there is sufficient evidence to suggest that the story is true. Maybe you know otherwise and can point me towards such a story. Also, you would expect that in such a digital age that if miracles were still to occur, at least one, just one, would be captured. In relation to evolution, I am not a biologist, but I do know that the vast majority of the scientific community and nearly every scientific society accepts evolution. You say you believe in microevolution, but not macroevolution, but they're actually the exact same concept, just over a different time scale. We cannot observe macroevolution because it takes place over a much longer time scale, but if you accept microevolution, then you are basically accepting macroevolution because it is the exact same thing. Micro describes changes within species over a short period of time. Macro describes changes within also species over a long period, which results in a new species because the species has changed so much from its original state that we view it as a new species, although maybe it technically isn't. I have a couple of more quick questions that I will fit into this one paragraph. Do you see the 6 days of creation as literal or metaphorical, each day perhaps being a stage? If you do see it as literal, how do you explain the dinosaurs? We 100% know humans and dinosaurs weren't around at the same time. If you see it as metaphorical, why were dinosaurs created and made extinct in the first place? Okay, Alex, let me start with the 6 days of creation. I do not see it as allegorical, but neither do I feel obligated to accept 6 literal days either. Let me back up. I have no problem believing that an all-powerful God could have created the world in 6 literal days. He could also have done it in 6 minutes or 6 seconds. Having said that, we are not forced to this conclusion. Now, before I elaborate, please do not misunderstand me. As I said, and as you acknowledged, I myself do not believe in the theory of evolution. So believing in an older Earth doesn't mean I'm getting into evolution. That is, once again, macroevolution. Evolution from one species to another, microevolution, evolution within the species is another story. I am also skeptical when people claim science has proven that our world is several billion years old. I do not think Christians or Orthodox Jews need to bow down to such ideas or be intimidated by what science has allegedly settled. There are many good arguments for a much younger Earth, far better than one would expect given the climate and indoctrination that takes place at so many of our universities. People should take the time to study the case for such a young Earth. They might be pleasantly surprised.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. Bobsiegel.net.
Questions from one of our friends and listeners, Alex, wanting to know if I accept the literal six-day creation. Not necessarily. I don't believe we're forced to that position, even from the text of the scripture. But I am commenting that a much better case can be made for a younger earth than you would think. At the same time, it should still be pointed out that Genesis was not written as a science book, but rather as a history of the people of Israel. Only the first three chapters talk about the creation of the world and the fall of human beings into sin. This tells us something about the priority of the writer. He was obviously giving a quick review of an oral tradition already known to the people. Only when Abraham comes on the scene in chapter 12 does the narrative slow down and begin to give intricate detail. We learn about everything from Abraham's journeys to his livestock to his sex life. We conclude that specifics about creation were not the writer's intention. As Genesis moves on, we realize it's a prologue to the seminal event of the Old Testament, the exodus from Egypt of God's chosen people, the Hebrews, descendants of Abraham. That is why Genesis was written. Genesis is to the rest of the Torah, first five books of the Bible, what the Hobbit is to the Lord of the Rings, with the exception that Tolkien was writing fiction and Moses was sharing a factual account. I would gladly trade 18 chapters of Leviticus for more information about how God created the world. But God has made his choice about what to say in the Bible and what to omit. It's quite apparent that he didn't consult me first. The first chapter of Genesis is written in a style of writing known as Hebrew poetry. It is not seeking to give any kind of order to creation, as evidenced by the fact that the world exists with water and vegetation prior to the creation of the sun. The word for day, yom, is a Hebrew word that did not have to mean a literal 24-hour day, but could also be referring to an event. This poem, then, could simply be God's way of discussing different events in the stages of creation. The Bible portrays God as being completely removed from time. Time is a human limitation. When we ask whether it took God 6 days or 6 billion years to create the world, the question is irrelevant. In fact, it took God no amount of time at all to create the world because God does not exist in time. To speak at our level, apparently God is using language we will relate to. Since we live in time and space, it is possible that a very long process over the years, as we understand years, created the world and universe in which we live. Okay, on to Alex's other comments. How do you explain dinosaurs? We 100% know humans and dinosaurs weren't around at the same time. Alex, obviously you've never watched The Flintstones. Haven't you seen Fred get out of his car and Dino comes running? I mean, come on. All right. Actually, Alex, truthfully, we don't know that at all. Mary Schweitzer, a paleontologist whose laboratory is at North Carolina State University in Raleigh, did some work on a Tyrannosaurus rex, which was supposed to be 68 million years old. Do you know what she found? Soft tissue, blood vessels. She's not the only one. Others are finding dinosaur fossils with soft tissue, so they can't be that old. All kinds of ancient cultures had stories of dragons, so this should be no surprise. Dragons, these big, huge reptilian creatures, cultures that had no knowledge of each other, and even though they may have been stories, where did these dragons come popping up? They had to get the idea from somewhere. There have been ancient cave drawings that resemble the Brontosaurus. Now, those creatures may be extinct now, but if they never lived at the same time as man, where did these drawings come from? In the book of Job, in the Bible, it refers to a creature known as the Leviathan, which meant dragon. Why did they become extinct? I don't know. Search me. I'm glad they're extinct. Would you want those things being around? It might have been God's mercy. Maybe they didn't catch the boat for the flood. I don't know. I don't know. Now, Alex, again, you say if you accept microevolution, then you are basically accepting macroevolution because it is the exact same thing. Alex, it is not the exact same thing. I don't think a reputable scientist would say it's the exact same thing. Alex, you admitted this yourself. You said that one has been observed, changes within species, and one has not been observed, changes between species. Where are the fossils? Like I said last time, where's this abundant evidence? Where's the fossil record? Now, if macroevolution has not been observed, anything in science that is not repeatable and observable has not been proven. If you want to say hypothetically you believe in it, that's fine. But you can't say it's been proven because it hasn't. Your own words admitted that it hasn't. Back to the empty tomb of Jesus. We've gone from dinosaurs to evolution, back to Jesus. Alex says, you gave a number of possibilities for the empty tomb and reasons why you don't believe them to be true. However, I would always believe in one of those possibilities before I would believe that a person had risen from the dead. Okay, well, my friend, then you are admitting that no matter how abundant the historical record is, and I noticed you did not challenge the historical record, which I shared last time, you are admitting that no matter how abundant the historical record is, you will not accept the report of a miracle. I appreciate your honesty. I do hope you realize that you are admitting that you cannot be objective. I understand. I understand miracles are a phenomenon we've been conditioned to not believing. How about miracles happening today? They happen all the time, Alex. They just don't get reported on MSNBC. People who should not be healed get healed. But doctors, instead of calling it a miracle, not wanting to be laughed out of the community, they write cause of recovery unknown. These cases have been documented again and again and again. As for somebody being dead a matter of days rather than a matter of minutes or hours, well, unless the body was frozen, it would start decomposing. That kind of restoration is called a resurrection. Yes, I do know of a time when it happened, 33 AD, Jesus. But again, okay, you've admitted that you won't accept that unless you see it for yourself. Fine. I know of something close to that in our own day. There's a book that you can get. They made a movie out of it too. The book's even better. It's called Heaven is for Real. A little boy passed away and witnessed many resurrected beings in heaven return to earth. From the point of view of the hospital, he was only gone a few minutes, but his story was 100% authenticated. I don't have time to get into it today. We have talked about it before on the show. I think I should get this family on as guests sometime. That would be a great show. Anyway, but this little boy in heaven met his own grandfather, who he had never met before, came back to life knowing things about his grandfather and his parents, which they had never told him. Now, I know people say, well, how can we trust their record? I personally know several people who can vouch for the honesty and integrity of this kid's parents. But still, Alex, I know, even as I say this, you won't be satisfied with that. You won't be satisfied with anything but your own experience. I respect that, Alex. I can only say that if you want God to communicate to you, even with a miracle, pray, seek him. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I have witnessed many miracles. Maybe you will too. But you can't go to God and say, well, it has to be a resurrection with a body dead for 5 days. You can't say, well, it's got to be 30 people come to life at the same time in a hermetically sealed room. Because, Alex, my friend, you aren't calling the shots. God is. God is not a genie in the bottle. We don't order God around. I'm not suggesting you're implying that, but God calls the shots. He chooses to answer the prayer his way. But once again, I would pick up that book that I mentioned, Heaven is for Real, and I mentioned last time a companion piece, Miracles are for Real. Read some of those stories for yourself. Well, from Trump to miracles. Okay. It's been a fun roller coaster ride of a show. And after preaching two services at Skyline Church, coming in and doing a show, I'm ready for a day off. But I don't have time for a day off tomorrow, so I'm ready for a day off someday this week. But it won't be a day off next Sunday because I'll be right back here at 6 o'clock doing this show the way the good Lord intended for it to be done. See you then.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.